Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Can you read my mind? Do you know what it is that you do to me? I don't know who you are. Just a friend from another star. Here I am, like a kid out of school, holding hands with a god. I'm a fool. Well, you look at me, quivering, like a little girl, shivering. You can see right through me. Can you read my mind? Can you picture the things I'm thinking of? Wondering why you are all the wonderful things you are. You can fly. You belong in the sky. You and I could belong to each other. You need a friend. I'm the one to fly to. If you need to be loved, here I am. Read my mind.
Another world, another time. In the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith and trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Sprinkle some of that pixie dust around, grab your happiest thought, and fly away with me, your Pan, the Spider Pan, head host of The Lost Boys and of the Neverland Podcast. And I welcome you here to Neverland. We're going to have a lot of fun later. We're going to be joined, of course, by Lost Boy Eric. Not right now, but later. Also, Lost Boy Philip will be with us as our third host. This week, we're going to be discussing, of course, the loss of Margot Kidder, a new Thundercats television show, and a few other things that we thought were fun that were not necessarily Disney-related, but we thought it would be a fun discussion anyway. That's all coming up later, but for now, I do have some interesting news updates, and I want to dive straight into them.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
One of these, this actually comes from WDW News Today. They have some information about the new hotel and restaurant type of area. I guess this is mainly the restaurant. Where we do know there's like a space-themed hotel, which specifically is going to be a Star Wars-style hotel. We know that's on the way. We don't have any more details about that. But a space-themed hotel, I believe we've spoken about this before, that's coming into Epcot. They claim to have some information about where that's going to be located. And it seems, I don't know if the Seas with Nemo and Friends is already gone or that we are expecting it to be gone, but they're expecting this new restaurant to go into that location. In fact, they expect you to have a transportation chamber that will take you into space to replace the hydrolators that actually were part of the Living Seas. So there seems to be something going on with that. I haven't been to Epcot since, 2009, so I don't know what all has changed. I thought the Living Seas might have still been there, but shows what I know sometimes, I guess. They are expecting you're going to walk through a hallway that's supposed to be known as a space cellar, and they're making an assumption that that could be filled of some of the wines that the restaurant is going to have. Other than that, they are expecting a two-level dining area, and it's going to be similar to like dining around like the Coral Reef, but it looks like you're going to have a large, of course, projection of space rather than an aquarium. Supposed to be able to have about 400 seats. The bar is going to be a little smaller with only about 12 guests on an upper level. This is expected to open before 2021, which of course would be the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World. But speaking of the other side of the world, now of course we know that Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is coming to Walt Disney World, but we have some information about Halloween time at the Disneyland Resort, which is going to start up on September 7th and of course run all the way through October 31st. It'll take place in Disneyland Park and also Disney California Adventure Park. And it's of course it's limited time. You're going to have Oogie Boogie. He's taken over Disney California Adventure Park again because that was very successful last year. There's going to be like a swarm of bats encircling the Carthay Circle Theater. Cars Land, of course, will become Halloween. Radiator Springs is going to become Radiator Screams. Just everything that you expected from last year, of course, and the Guardians of the Galaxy is going to have some Monsters After Dark. A lot of the stuff you got last year, it's going to happen again. So if you enjoyed it last year or if you didn't get a chance to go last year and you wanted to, of course, it's coming around again. June 5th is when the tickets are going to go on sale for the Disneyland Resort annual pass holders, Disney Rewards Visa card holders, and the Disney Vacation Club members. The rest of us, June 12th is when the tickets were going to go on sale. And of course, this, like I said, starting September 19th, it'll be going pretty much around weekends. And as it gets closer into Halloween, it'll be a few extra days during the week. But mainly, it's around the weekends and October 31st. If you want to find a little bit more information, you can go to Disneyland.com/Halloween or call 714-781-4400 and ask all about it. And of course, the Haunted Mansion over there in Disneyland will be decked out in the Nightmare Before Christmas. If you're looking for some incredible fun and you want to get a sneak peek of Incredibles 2, Disney's Hollywood Studio and the Disney California Adventure on May 18th, there's going to be a stunning 3D with in-theater special effects going on at like the Sunset Showcase Theater and also the Walt Disney Presents Theater, of course, being relative to whichever park you are at. So you'll get a chance to get a sneak preview. Now, I don't know how much you're going to see. You're going to get about 10 minutes. So this could be the beginning of the film. It could be somewhere in the middle. Nope. It does say the first 10 minutes here where I'm looking on the Disney Parks blog. So yes, the first 10 minutes of the film, 3D with some effects. Now I'm expecting the first 10 minutes is where you're going to have the Underminer. So there should be a pretty action-packed and fun scene. Once again, that is on May the 18th. So I think this is going to be very limited time. That's at least when it starts. And from the way they're talking about it, it sounds like it's going to be a one day only. So be prepared, get in there, go check it out if you want a quick sneak preview. Now, we all know about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is coming. And we also hopefully remember Galactic Nights coming on May 27th. That weird thing is, isn't that on a Sunday night? Yes, that's a Sunday night. That's very interesting. But we're less than 2 weeks away. I mean, it's coming up. In fact, that's this, it's a week from today right now. So Star Wars Galactic Nights is going to happen. And David Collins looks to be hosting here for the Inside Star Wars Galaxy Edge. And you're going to be able to learn a lot more about it. And we've got a few people who are supposed to be appearing with him. We've got Scott Trowbridge, I think that's how you say it, and he's a portfolio and creative executive for Walt Disney Imagineering. We've got Eric Baker, who's a creative director of Walt Disney Imagineering. John Georges, executive producer of Walt Disney Imagineering. Margaret Carrison, who's a managing story editor of Walt Disney Imagineering. And, of course, Warwick Davis will be the official Galactic Nights event host. So, remember, if you need to get tickets separate for this, this is going to be an after-park hours from 7 p.m. to midnight, okay? And it'll celebrate everything Star Wars, including Solo. So I expect maybe some extra merchandise. During the fireworks, maybe they'll have something from Solo. I don't know. But there's going to be some special things going on. Tickets are already on sale. You're running out of time. Far as I know, by the time you hear this, it may have sold out. So get on it and get it fast if you really are hoping to go. But if you can't go to that, maybe you can take a cruise. The Disney Cruise Line has actually announced some itinerary. The Disney Magic is going to return to New York in September of 2019, but we're looking at sailings to go into Bermuda, the Bahamas, and Canada from New York. So, yeah, Canada, if you want to go and visit that, you know, they're going to go to, St. John, New Brunswick, Bar Harbor, Maine, and then, of course, on their way into Canada. We do expect, of course, for going into the Bahamas and Bermuda and stuff, you're going to go to Castaway Key and things like that. There's going to be some Baja and Mexican Riviera voyages from California aboard the Disney Wonder. That, of course, going to Cabo San Lucas, Puerto Vallarta, Mazatlan, a lot of places, snorkeling, scuba diving, lots of fun things to go along. Also, around the interesting things, the vocations to the Bahamas and Caribbean from Texas, also on the Disney Wonder. They actually have some stops for the Grand Cayman and Cozumel, Mexico, and Falmouth, Jamaica. There's even some tropical escapes set for Florida. So the Disney Magic is going to be returning to Miami in November. And the Disney Dream and the Disney Fantasy will be sailing some guest favorite itineraries out of Port Canaveral. Disney Fantasy is also going to have some fall cruises in October. There's going to be an 8-night voyage, which is going to go to St. Kitts, Antigua, and San Juan, Puerto Rico. Also in December, there's going to be the Disney Fantasy is taking one cruise to San Juan, Tortola, and Castaway Key. Really, there's a lot of different cruises available right now. They have the full itinerary. If you are interested in taking a cruise, you can go to DisneyCruise.com and find a lot of details about this. Alrighty, there's also, this is kind of a fun thing. There's a fireworks dessert party going to go on at the Magic Kingdom Park at Walt Disney World. This is sort of an after party to the fireworks where you're going to have some dessert over at the Tomorrowland Terrace restaurant. And of course, you know, it's dessert and you've just gotten to see fireworks. You know it's going to be good. But some of the offerings I'm seeing here listed on the Disney Parks blog, they have like a s'mores action station over at Frontierland, Pineapple Delights and Adventureland, Ooey Gooey Toffee Cakes in Liberty Square, Macaroons in Fantasyland, Cookie Table in Tomorrowland, and Strawberry Tarts Main Street, USA. And there's going to be some more there. There's some photos here that shows cheeses and crackers. On July 3rd and 4th, they're on select nights during the Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, Merry Merry Christmas Party. There's going to be holiday treats as well as some holiday fireworks. So this all is getting started on May 28th and is going to have basically like special event type of things going on. Now, if you want to go to this after fireworks dessert party, you can start May 17th. So it's already started. You can start calling 407-WDW-DINE. It's going to be $69 for adults, $41 for children. Online reservations that are going to be available starting up on May 24th. That is the Thursday after I'm recording this. So, yes, you do have to reserve yourself into this party. Okay, moving along into... Well, wait, one more last thing I do want to report about the parks before I move on into some movie news. The Maleficent Dragon, I'm still expecting it to be repaired and returned, but I figure I'd report to you, Prince Philip and Princess Aurora are filling in, which, in a way, seems appropriate. They're all from the same film, after all, so, you know, it makes sense. You're going to see them instead of Maleficent. So, keep that in mind. You know, I think it's only temporary. They should be repairing the dragon. They've got the money to do it, and I'm sure it's important enough to Disney to do that. But into some movie news, We knew The Rock was going to be in a film adaptation of The Jungle Cruise. We've known about this for a good long time. It's, you know, been tossed around a lot. But he has officially signed his contract, and he posted to Twitter saying that this is the biggest contract that he has ever signed, and he seems to be very excited about the project. Of course, he may be just excited because of the amount of money he's getting. Emily Blunt is also set to star with him. Now, this comes from TMZ. And I've had, you know, some people on Facebook are saying, well, TMZ has been right about some Star Wars news before. They're mainly tabloid, but they are claiming to have an Obi-Wan movie coming on. An Obi-Wan Kenobi, and a solo Star Wars movie. Ewan McGregor, of course, has said that he would be interested to do it. Whatever this bulletin is apparently it's a newly released production bulletin that the TMZ claims that they have gotten a hold of. And, of course, Obi-Wan, A Star Wars Story is what they're calling it. And it's going to be under the working title of Joshua Tree. And it lists Stephen Daldry as a director. And there's been, of course, rumors about him being in talks about a film. And he's now attached. And they're supposed to film it in London at the Star Wars studio that they recently used for The Last Jedi. And production is said to be started in a year in next spring. But here's what we have. They have a synopsis here on TMZ. They're saying Obi-Wan is, of course, on Tatooine. He's being a hermit. He's keeping an eye on Luke Skywalker. Keeping an eye on Uncle Owen. But there's suddenly some tensions between the local farmers and a tribe of sand people headed by a ruthless war chief. And so Obi-Wan's going to come out of hiding. Now, I would expect if Obi-Wan comes out of hiding, he's not going to show his hand of being a Jedi. If he starts tapping into the Force and causes the Force to kind of do some things, I suspect that Darth Vader would feel the Force going on. You know, he might sense the presence of Obi-Wan. So this could be a working plot of him trying to defend Luke and protect Luke from sand people in a revolt like this. But I don't know what all Obi-Wan would do, because he would not want to risk bringing the Empire there or having Darth Vader sense his presence. So once again, though, this is still, you know, it's from a TMZ. I don't know where they're claiming they got this bulletin from. So I'm still considering this to be a bit of a rumor until we hear something directly from Lucasfilm. But here's something else that's very interesting. So it's possible that John Lasseter is going to be able to come back after he's been on sabbatical. Because he made some mistakes. He's done some things. But apparently they might let him come back as kind of a limited capacity. We don't know exactly he's going to have some creative input on any upcoming projects. But it's kind of really loosey-goosey on exactly what's going on here. But according to the Wall Street Journal, it's possible that after he's done this 6-month mark and some sort of decision is coming that he will possibly be able to come back. Now, I don't know if he's going to be forgiven by people who are probably upset with him. I don't know if he's really made some changes to how he's doing things because he realizes he's done some stuff wrong. I'm a person who allows people to change, you know, if they really want to change and they really are seeking the forgiveness. Grace is something that I think is very, very important. So I would like to be able to see him come back and not make some of those same mistakes that he did before. Now, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I haven't gotten to watch this season at all because I was busy in schoolwork. But there's going to be 13 more episodes in the summer of 2019. They're calling it the 6th season. So I don't know if it's actually been 6 years since it's been on the ears. They do seasons so weird to me now. I don't fully understand them all. But there will be some more. And normally, over the summer, isn't that when we've gotten some, like, side project type of things? Something like that, like this, where we normally have, like, Agent Carter or, like, The Inhumans, which I didn't actually finish watching all of The Inhumans, because apparently it didn't really come out very well. I think I watched the first episode and I wasn't really that impressed. I would like The Inhumans to have been very, very good. But we do know we got at least 13 more episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know that it's going to go on any further after that. Now, Some other interesting information. This one, we can be a little bit more confident about this information because it's coming from Entertainment Weekly. And I believe it was even what, like, a part of in Cannes this came up. But we're hearing some talk that there could be a Lando Calrissian film. Kathleen Kennedy kind of let something slip, but apparently she also spoke out of turn a little bit. So, you know, because Lucasfilm said there was might have been a misunderstanding between a journalist in France and Kathleen Kennedy. And so, well, we'd love to do a story about Lando Calrissian, but it's not happening right now. And they do say, well, it would be fun to tell the story of Han and Chewie, which makes us think, you know, we have heard that they've thought about doing a sequel to Solo, maybe even a trilogy of Solo films, depending upon how this film works, if it goes over well. Right now, they are having some difficulty with some of their fan base. There were some comments made by one of the writers that I did even see some fan reaction on Facebook. I've seen some things on YouTube. People aren't exactly happy with some of the what's been said about Lando of, and it's stuff that's not even important to Star Wars or the character, but they really shouldn't be making changes to the original characters. They should maybe make new characters to represent what they want. And I don't want to really get into it here, but believe me, you can find anything you want about some new information about Lando that you could possibly want to find. And like I said, I'm not going to get into it here. But before we get into our fun discussion, which we have our third host, you know what we haven't done in a long time? And we have all kinds of audio from Eric from Walt Disney World, and he's not here with us right now to tell us, continue telling his story about his trip. But we do have some audio from him, so you know what? Let's listen to some of that audio he brought us from Walt Disney World.
So what do you call a bear that's covered from head to toe in water?
What?
No, it'd be a grizzly bear. So who's the sweetest bear in the show, but he has absolutely no teeth?
Any bear.
Little bear? Yeah. No, that would be a gummy bear. That was a little chewy. All right, folks, sit back, relax, and enjoy the bear tradition and the show. Well, take it away.
Yeah, we ain't going anywhere anyhow. We're kind of hung up here.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to the one and only original country band, Jamboree, featuring a bit of Americana, our musical heritage of the past. Right now, I give you a sort of assortment of executioners of music and song, the Five Bear Rugs. Hey, boys! Well, I'm about to play now in the good old key of G. Zeke and Zed and Ken, Fred and Byron in Tennessee. Zed's playing on banjo and a tapping with his feet. I'm banging on the dish pan for the real old country beat. Zed the song on the fiddle with a crooked hickory bow. When the spirit moves that moon, he can make that fiddle go. From Ted's on cotton jug, now make that barrel blow. He also plays the washboard with the handle low. He never took a lesson, he just picked it up from Dan. And little Tennessee Band is featured on the thing. Sounds just like a guitar, but it's only got one string. So clap your hands up, stomp your feet, and try to keep track with them. Watch your thing, the bear band's got his real.
Thank you.
And now, a heart-rendering ditty by our own growler of song, Liverlips McGraw. Sing it, Mac.
I've got a woman, she's got me. Whatever we do, we both agree. She ain't pretty, but I ain't too. The things you like, the things you do. A woman ain't pretty, but she don't swear none. She's kind of heavy, don't weigh a ton. She's my woman through and through. I love her only because her heart is true.
Yes, folks, we only have high-class stuff on this show. And now, here's a special treat out of Tampa. Our own treat.
Tears will be the chaser for your wine. After you leave this love of mine.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to have a little bit of fun. Now it's time for our first time doing some third host.
All right.
First time. So yes, as you just heard, Lost Boy Philip has now joined us. And of course, Lost Boy Eric's still here.
Howdy.
Still here.
Hello.
All right, so we've got a variety of topics to dive into, and we'll save the big one for last. But first thing I want to throw up to you, and it's funny I said throw up, because if you check our YouTube channel, hopefully I'll have it up very, very soon. But Philip and I had some fun with some Harry Potter flavors, including some Bertie Bott's beans and some pumpkin juice and some butterbeer, but that's a whole other thing. But check the video on our YouTube channel. You can get their links are right there on the website, neverlandpodcast.com, or search for the Neverland Podcast on YouTube. That's also where I'm live streaming Kingdom Hearts, although I haven't been able to play in a little while. I'm stuck fighting the Cerberus. Anyway, but yeah, speaking of vomit, you'll know why when you see the video. But and also, what might make you vomit, Eric, you shared this with me just yesterday. I'll go ahead and let you tell us what you found.
Well, Cartoon Networks is releasing a new series based on one of the properties that we knew as kids. It did have something of a revival about a decade ago, where they had another season. You remember what The Sword of Omens is, right?
Oh, yes. It gives you sight beyond sight.
Exactly. And it operates there on Third Earth, where it's wielded by Lion-O, leader of the Thundercats.
Yeah.
In their quest to bring justice to Third Earth against the Mum-Ra.
And they're back.
They
sort of, kind of.
Well, I think they have backs.
So
there is a new Thundercats series coming to Cartoon Network titled Thundercats Roar.
Yeah.
And
oh my gosh.
The design is, well, have you seen Teen Titans Go.
Or no, it's even worse than that. It's even worse than Steven Universe. Steven Universe, it kind of reminded me of Steven Universe, but not as cute.
It reminds me of Steven Universe and Gumball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told my friend it looked like Muppet Babies puked out.
What's the vomit today? What's with vomit?
I don't know. I don't.
There's a theme. You know, the design indicates that it's going to be. It's not really going to revere the source material.
No kidding.
Quite the way that we would expect it to.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And they're playing it as a comedy for some reason, because the guy who's putting this together, and he's got a video on YouTube, and he's got, I guess it's supposed to be a man bun, but he looks like Pebbles Flintstone. Like, I don't know. He's off his rocker. He's apparently a big Thundercats fan. They show in the video him having the DVDs, all the seasons of Thundercats, but he thought the entire concept lends itself to comedy. And he's made like a parody almost of the Thundercats.
Yeah, and you know it's difficult to see something like this be presented. You know, who knows? It could be a fun, it could be an enjoyable show, but based upon what Cartoon Network has done, going from Teen Titans to Teen Titans Go, it's 180-degree difference between what the shows represent. And you know,
if they ever do that, something like that to He-Man, I am going to like throw a major fit. You know,
that's the only thing we can do. We got no control.
Yeah, we have no control. But as Rob Paulsen told me at Planet Comic Con, when he's talking about his new Ninja Turtle series, which I've now seen the trailer, that the animation looks terrible, unfortunately. I'm confident in the voice acting in, because Rob Paulsen, I think, is going to get great performers. But I don't think that series is going to be very good either. But Rob Paulsen did say, well, if it's not good, people won't watch it and it'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
Just simple as that. So we can give it a fair shot if we want to, but I don't think I'm going to give this one a fair shot. I don't want to see it. If kids watch it, tune in and make it a thing, well, great. But if kids get excited about Thundercats from watching this show, I would like to show them the original series and see if they probably will enjoy that one as well.
I really hoped the second one that they brought out was going to be good.
I liked the second one, though.
I tried. I guess I was a little lost by the whole, you know, Tigra and Lionel.
Yeah, it added a bit of depth and some backstory.
But it was strange and I couldn't understand it. But that being said, I would much rather have that than this.
Yeah.
I would much rather have that than this. But boy, this is it's something else.
Yeah. I mean, if they could have taken it seriously and maybe had a bit of humor, you do still have Snarf.
Yeah.
You can have some humor, but and they said, oh, but there's going to be lots of action in this, but your character design shows me your action is going to be ridiculous and goofy, and you're not taking the subject, the series seriously enough to make it cool and adventurous and high adventure and fun that kids would enjoy with a good taste of humor. I'm almost afraid somebody's going to grab Silverhawks and do that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Snarf looks like the serious one of the whole bunch.
Yikes.
Well, let's see, what other properties are there out there that they could do this to?
Mask Crusaders.
Mask is supposed to be getting a movie, though, I have heard.
Really?
Yes, that could be awesome.
Working overtime, fighting crime.
Fighting crime. As long as Michael Bay doesn't get it, because he's already had enough transforming vehicles. I don't want Michael Bay to make a Mask movie, so if I hear that, I'm going to have a conniption. I think Jazz Bazaar of Techno Retro Dads might have a conniption, too.
It's possible. Oh, well, I had a thought pop into my head.
Uh-oh.
Dungeons and Dragons.
There you go.
How that, that's what we need is a goofy Venger.
There you go.
Wow. I remember the Pawpaw Bears. Those were goofy. That's supposed to be goofy.
Yeah. Pawpaw Bears. How about Gummy Bears from the Disney? They need to come back.
I would like them to come back.
Computerized. That'd be fun.
Make it like a 3D. Yeah. But, well, we're talking about things we're afraid they might bring back in a bad way, but that would be something I would just want them to bring back, and it would be great.
That'd be great, though.
Because that could be high adventure and fun and comedy, definitely.
But as far as a bad cartoon already, might as well try to do something with it. What, Rubik's Cube.
Rubik's Cube.
The Amazing Cube.
What about Turbo? You remember that?
Turbo Teen. Yes.
Turbo Teen.
Yes.
That's terrible.
Wow.
Well, here's another property that I hope that they do not touch. Unfortunately, it's held by Disney, but you never know.
Yeah.
Gargoyles.
Oh.
I want to see a movie of that. That would be so cool.
I, you know, we were talking about, you know, Lion-O. I'd really like to see a good live series, because you could do that.
Yeah.
Thundercats, but Silverhawks, really.
Silverhawks would be a great series.
That would be a great series. You could do that really well, I think, especially nowadays with computer, you know, genetics, all these things they could do. They could do it so well. The computer animation.
Computer genetics.
I meant to say animation. I'm sorry.
Computer graphics,
you,
I guess.
Computer, yeah. No, genetics. You can computer make people, genetics. You can make people look like they're half. No, seriously.
Sure.
No.
Put some DNA into the computer. Bring it to life.
You could use the computer.
Your robot overlords are waiting for DNA.
But special effects nowadays, you could do anything to make that look good.
Yeah.
You really could.
And there was even, I remember a long time ago, somebody photoshopped Brad Pitt to look like Lionel. They took a shot from Troy and changed the colors and then did the hair.
And Vince Vaughn, and they had him there too, remember?
Vince Vaughn as Panthro would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
a live-action Thundercats movie. Maybe if this Masters of the Universe movie comes over and does really well, they'll think about something like Thundercats as a live-action film.
Well, that would do a good job of that.
We can cross our fingers, you know. And then She-Ra's coming back to Netflix. I hope there's some He-Man somewhere in there because, you know, She-Ra's origin involves He-Man. So
that's her brother, you know.
So I'm hoping that's good, too. But, okay, there's another show. Another show who's coming back, and Philip absolutely loves this. And this is the reason why Tom Selleck was not Indiana Jones, is because he was Magnum P.I.
Yeah, that's right. I own every episode. I've got the shirt. I had the I got it all, baby.
He's got a costume.
Yes, I dress like him.
We just need the helicopter.
Hey, I want the helicopter. I want the Ferrari. Let me tell you.
Of course,
something.
We want the Ferrari.
That's
it's
right.
A Ferrari.
Come on, Higgins. I love Magnum PI. It started in 1981, and that was just one of the greatest shows through all the 80s. You know, I mean, this was a show that was so great that almost every action TV show was somewhat based on Magnum PI. They all in that at that time.
I can see it.
Yeah, at that time, different shows started changing, trying to be a lot like Magnum. You can see it. There's so many shows like that, and the show Dallas. Those are the two shows that all the other night shows were kind of being based on. You can see it all through the 1980s. Just watch it. You'll see Miami Vice was somewhat trying to be like Magnum, as were all these other shows, Simon and Simon, which by the way even had a crossover with Magnum. Even Mercy Wrote had a crossover with Magnum. There's all sorts of wonderful shows that were trying to be like Magnum P.I. Wonderful show. The theme song, by the way, first I think it was 14, maybe it was 13 episodes did not have that theme song.
Wow.
Yeah,
really?
I own the first season, all the seasons. But on that first 13 episodes, I think it was, had another show, I mean another theme song to the show. And it didn't flow. It was more of a Rockford-ish sound. You have to understand that Magnum PI was by the same producers and many of the same writers as Rockford.
The Rockford Files.
Rockford Files, yeah. Rockford Files.
With James Garner,
James
wasn't it?
Garner.
Yeah.
And whenever it started, it just didn't seem right. But man, once that theme was on there, oh, look out. You can't stop
dun,
it.
Dun, 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 dun,
oh, it's beautiful.
Dun, dun,
but Tom Selleck was on.
Was that on Jan Hammer theme?
I think. But when Rockford Files was on, Tom Selleck was on the last couple seasons on there as a character that was so loved, they had him come back, and then they thought we should give him his own series.
Wow.
Not the same character, but
Tom
Selleck. They said to him, just like they did with James Garner, they said, we will make the character named after you, not the same last name, but the same first name. So, because when Rockford was made, they named him James Rockford after James Garner, and with Tom Selleck, they named him Thomas Magnum after Tom Selleck. So that's what they did, and man, Magnum was great. It was so great. A lot of the same producers, writers, directors went to Magnum, and they even had a lot of the same actors coming in as side characters and guest stars and things like that. A wonderful show that when they ended it, people weren't happy the way Magnum ended because he died. They brought him back for another season, and he didn't really die. They had it as if he was going.
It was all a dream?
It was like a coma. He was in a coma. And
of course, he was all a dream.
Well, kind of. Yeah. He was going into a coma, and they brought him back. From like he wasn't really dead. He was just kind of.
He's only mostly dead.
Yes, mostly dead. Well, the way they ended this show, it was 1988. I think if you don't know by now, you wait a little too long to look it up. As he was walking into heaven, that's how they end the show. And as the season began, that last season, They say, Magnum, Magnum. And he suddenly wakes up. And he's like, oh, okay, so he wasn't dead. This was almost in there. Almost dead.
Mostly dead, which means slightly alive.
That's right. It's a good show. You give it a chance. I'm telling you, you love it.
Yeah, I think I watched like the first episode as far as I've ever gotten. I should probably watch the rest. I don't know if they're still on Netflix because CBS All Access has the entire series.
I got them all, buddy.
I know. I tried to watch on Netflix, and it seemed like he made a giant leap to solve the case, and I was like, what? And I don't know. It didn't click with me, but I mean, it looks like the series is a lot of fun, so I would still like to watch it.
Yeah, it was better through the ages, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but now it's coming back with Jay Hernandez, and they're making a thing about him being a Hispanic Magnum PI. They even make a joke in the trailer, although I gotta say the trailer does look like it's gonna be fun. And I think I might give this a try.
Yeah.
This is actually being brought around by the same people who Peter Lincoff. He's a writer-producer behind the reboots of Hawaii Five-O and MacGyver. Mm. And so now he's bringing back this. It must be all his favorite shows or something he's trying to remake. Probably. Now, I don't know if I guess Hawaii Five-O is having some success. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the MacGyver reboot did. I haven't watched either one because I didn't really watch the original series of those so much either. And I would rather watch the original MacGyver, though. I want to see what inspired it, really. So Jay Hernandez is he's going to be known for being in Suicide Squad. I guess he was the guy that the only character I really liked, although Will Smith was pretty interesting as Deadshot. And Harley Quinn was pretty cool. But the most interesting character to me, I think, was him, where he was like the pyro guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, Diablo.
Diablo, I kind of liked him. He was interesting because he didn't want to hurt anyone anymore. I liked his character better in that one. But he's also known for Friday Night Lights, Bad Moms, Hostel. He's in that Netflix Bright, which apparently is really terrible. I could have told you that from the preview. He's also recently appeared in Scandal, Nashville, and The Expanse on television.
Nothing that I've seen.
Yeah. Well, Suicide Squad. Didn't you see that one? You didn't see Suicide Squad?
No, it looked terrible to me, and everything I've heard from it is.
It wasn't completely terrible. It has its moments.
Yeah.
I mean, but so does Man of Steel.
I was going to say, there's nothing worth watching. But that being said, I am going to watch the first episode or two and give it a chance. I'm more... Higgins doesn't look good to me in it, but... The only good part.
She looks pretty good to me. She's a pretty lady.
Pretty lady, but she doesn't. Well, I assume it means she doesn't look like. She doesn't seem to be Higgins.
Well, she does seem to have that attitude and uppity.
Well, yeah, she's English, but by that, I didn't mean that all English are uppity. What I mean by that, is that she's English and that she can be uppity acting, but Higgins is a middle-aged man who's kind of, you know, uppity, and he sits at home, but he's not an action man.
Yeah,
she was, you know, just by the preview, she's up there saving the day.
Yeah, this version of Higgins is going to be in on the action, but
yeah,
this also makes me wonder if she's a potential love interest, because it could be like Moonlighting, where they don't seem to get along, but at some point you just kind of start to like each other.
The only part that seemed like Magnum to me was the helicopter, the car, and the music.
Now, these other two characters that they've introduced, like my Magnum's team, are they part of...
Oh, yeah. That's Rick and TJ. Yeah.
So they were on the series.
Oh, yeah.
I did remember from the trailer, it did remind me of the first episode where he's tracking in on people off his old Navy SEALs group or whatever, his old military unit, were being killed. And it looks like they are doing that same story.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's tracking down a friend of his that was killed.
I don't know what war they're going to be involved in this.
Yeah, probably Gulf War or something like that.
I'm assuming. But I'm going to give it a chance for at least for the first few episodes. It won't be Magna PI to me, but it'll be, you know, Magna PI the next generation, we'll call it. You know,
sort of like all these other like Ultimate Spider-Man, always called Spider Boy, and these other cartoons that are kind of around that, they're like Spider Boy, and even the current Spider-Man in the MCU to me is Spider Boy because he's a kid and he acts like a kid, and so it's to me it's Spider Boy. It's like not quite the same thing, but yet it's kind of the thing.
Well, it's like the new Hawaii Five-O. I like the original. But it's not that I hate the new one.
I haven't watched either.
I don't really watch it, but I've seen an episode or two. And it's not horrible. It's not, you know.
I wonder, though, if they're going to try to find a way to bring back the A-Team. Because that movie wasn't too bad. I kind of liked it.
I like Liam Neeson, especially.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind them trying to bring the A-Team back.
Well, it's not the same, but it's okay. At least another generation can get into it or something.
How about you, Eric? What other live-action TV show do you want to see brought back?
Well, I want to see Dr. Samuel Beckett make it home.
Me too.
Dude, totally.
See, I waited for years for him to have a reunion movie of Magna P.I. I've waited for years because all the actors are still alive.
And then Quantum Leap, though.
Those are the two. Which, by the way, same producers and directors. Magna P.I., Quantum Leap, Rocker, all
and people. They could still, I mean, Scott Bakula, come on, get him back.
Yeah, he's still around.
A lot of people, older people would recognize Quantum Leap that way.
Yeah.
But, even to start a new Quantum Leap series, have Scott Bakula come home, but then even launch a new series with some new characters,
yes.
But have Scott Bakula be in that mentor role.
Ooh.
What was that?
That's Quantum Leap.
That was probably my sweetie wife telling me she's about ready to come home.
Oh, okay.
I thought that he was being called home finally. Sam's coming home.
Come on home, Sam. So, yes, Quantum Leap cool.
Al was trying to tell him it's time.
Yes. Oh, man.
No, but I'll tell you another show that would be kind of fun if they redid it. Simon and Simon.
I never watched that one.
What? That was a great show, man.
I never watched that
McGraney.
One.
Another crossover.
Was that Starsky and Hutch crossed over with something?
Oh,
that was
a great show.
Yeah, I didn't see the movie where they tried to. I remember watching that when I was little, but I don't remember a whole lot of Starsky and Hutch.
That's a good show.
Yeah, I only vaguely remember because I was so little. You know, it'd be nice if they brought back that Incredible Hulk TV show. Oh, that's right. They sort of did. It's movies now. Woohoo!
I got them.
So, yes, and I actually like this Hulk a little better. Because when I was a kid, that Incredible Hulk TV show scared the bejesus out of me. Oh, yes.
Well, until Mr. Rogers showed us that,
yes.
You know, the Incredible Hulk was a nice man.
I watched that.
Oh, my gosh.
You didn't watch that?
I'm going to go on YouTube later. I'm going for YouTube later.
I watched it.
Oh, my God.
I loved it.
So he had Lou Ferrigno on?
Lou Ferrigno. And
Hulk makeup?
Well, I can't remember if he actually got into makeup. I just remember they showed him where they went to the backstage and showed how they did that and all that.
Oh, that is so cool.
Mr. Rogers was the best.
We love Mr. Rogers.
Yes, he was the best.
Speaking of people we love that we have also lost.
Yes.
We've really got to get into this. Margaret Ruth Kidder.
Yes.
Born 1948, October 17th, just passed away on May 13th at age 69 in Livingston, Montana, USA. Margot Kidder, as we knew her by, and to me, will always be Lois Lane. She Amen. Was my childhood Lois Lane.
Yes.
And was always Lois Lane. Like Christopher Reeve was always Superman to me.
Yes, me too.
She was always Lois Lane. But this is kind of weird. So she was born... in Yellowknife of the Northwest Territories of Canada to Jocelyn Mary Jill Wilson, a history teacher from British Columbia, and Kendall Kidder, a New Mexico-born mining engineer and explosives expert.
Wow.
There you go. There is a long list. Oh, wow. Even here in 2017, something called The Neighborhood. She was in R.L. Stine's The Haunting Hour. A lot of stuff. Real gangsters. That sounds familiar. Wow. Halloween 2 in 2009.
Yeah.
I only ever saw her of.
Yeah.
In Superman. And all four Superman movies, although in Superman 3, she's another. Oh, she did pop up in Smallville, huh?
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her character passed away at one point, which I was sad to see. But yeah. Yeah, she was in it quite a few times.
I see a lot of guests appearing in like Law and Order, Earth, The Final Conflict, The Outer Limits. Tribulation, I don't know, The Industry, La Femme Nikita TV series, a lot of TV movies. She popped up in Touched by an Angel, the Teddy Bear Scare TV movie. She popped up in Ah, Real Monsters as Mistress Helga. Wow, Boston Common, I guess, had a kind of a reoccurring role. Well, I guess it was only six episodes.
Captain Planet and the Planet.
Phantom 24. Oh, she was in Captain Planet. She was Gaia in Captain Planet and the Planeteers. And I didn't realize she'd done so much voice work. Phantom 2040, I remember that series. I didn't watch it, but I remember it. Someone called The Pornographer. Well, okay. New Adventures of the Black Stallion, Murder, She Wrote, Street Legal, a lot of Ozma of Oz. There you go. So it was a straight-to-video, so she did some Oz. Emerald City of Oz, The Marvelous Land of Oz, Wonderful
She's
Wizard
the narrator
of Oz.
Of those.
She's the narrator. Wow. So did a whole lot more than what I ever knew of. But you know, she was even in the Amityville Horror, the original one.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Wow. And, wow, I've even gotten Barnaby Jones, even before Superman, all the stuff that she had done.
I saw she was one of the Mavericks. We're talking like the old TV show.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. With James Garner.
Yep, with James Garner. He's back again, folks.
Yeah, there we go. It's a connection here.
But I mainly remember her as Lois Lane. She really did bring out the spunk and the investigativeness and that. What's the word I'm looking for? When you're super investigating, you don't give up. You're really determined, but...
Tenacious.
Yes.
Plus, they said that really sold them, coming at the producers, directors.
Richard Donner,
yes. And also some of the producers. What really did sell them to make the fact that she was the one wasn't just that. Was that when she looked at the stranger, Christa Reeve, what really made them believe that she was Lois Lane was that she had that tenacity, but also, and spunk, but also that when she looked at this stranger, it looked like she wanted to be with him, talking physically, and that she was in love.
Christopher Reeve was a very handsome fellow. Yeah. I mean,
but all these other people that and women they looked at, they said they would say all the lines, and they would look like they were surprised and they liked Superman, but she would look like she was in love with him, just absolutely in love and wanted to be with him forever. And she's had that in her eyes. And I thought, yeah, she did, man.
And she really did.
Can you read my mind?
Yes. Can you see the thoughts I'm thinking?
Yeah.
Wondering all the wonderful you things got... that you are. Yep.
You got me? Who's got you?
Yes. Good line. That's my favorite bit. Because really, some of that there could have come off super silly and not believable, and yet it's just good comedy. But she did it well, even to just stand there and as he goes away, and she just falls over. Which, it was done just the right level of comedy to not make it so goofy, considering that you're making a Superman movie. It could have been really goofy and silly, but to have just the right level of comedy, she did great. And even, being in that role, well, a lot of people probably would complain she was like the damsel in distress, because that's a Lois Lane thing. She's very tenacious, but she'll go after a story and sometimes get herself in over her head where she does need Superman to come and help.
That's the thing you hear people say about the character of Lois Lane. That they talk about her being the damsel in distress, but if they ever really got to know the character, she's not.
Yeah, she's not.
Yeah, Superman comes
to help
her.
She's a military kid.
How she got in the situation she's in is by not being a damsel in distress.
Because she gets in there. She wants to get that story. She is tenacious. That is the word.
Absolutely. And brave.
She's gutsy. Oh, yeah. But sometimes that elevator's going up in the Eiffel Tower and you're stuck underneath, and what are you supposed to do?
No matter how brave you are.
No matter how brave you are, you are in trouble and you need Superman.
That's right.
And sometimes you're just silly and you're trying to prove that Clark's Superman and you jump into the Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
That was a silly thing to do, but...
And by the way...
Sometimes you do that because you're tenacious.
Whether you're a woman or a man or anybody, you're going to need help in that situation.
You are going to need it. And she would get herself into those situations because she was that brave and that tough that she would get into there. She'd get in situations that no normal person would probably get themselves into because she was going to get that story. She wanted the truth and she was going for it.
And she was really, I tell you, Margot Kidder to me will always be my choice, my first choice of Lois Lane. When everyone mentions Lois Lane, I think of all of them, but I think of her first. And then I think of the old school one of the 1950s TV show.
The George Reeves.
And then I think of the Smallville one. Then I think, I love them all, but she's the first one to me, Marvel. Yeah,
she will always be my Lois Lane.
Me too.
And it just broke my heart when I found out she passed.
Yeah, me too.
So much that went, and I'm going to play this music here, but I found Maureen McCormick, I believe, is the one who sang it, but... And I don't know if John Williams was writing for the lyrics or the lines that were already in the film in a very lyrical style, or if they wrote these words to the John Williams Lois love theme. But hearing the Maureen McCormick singing it, there was some video I even found on YouTube. I shared it on our Facebook page. Well, it kind of got to me, knowing that she was gone, because she's always going to be my Lois.
Yeah.
So my first big superhero thing was Superman, when we were that little. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Any other thoughts you want to add to that, Eric?
Not really. I think we've pretty much covered it.
We don't want to beat the horse to death.
Right.
So let's just park it in and we'll just listen to Can You Read My Mind with Maureen McCormick.
Kid out of school, holding hands with the god. I'm a fool. Will you look at me, quivering like a little girl, shivering? You can see picture the things I'm thinking of, wondering why you are all the wonderful things you are. You can fly, you belong to the sky. You and I belong to each other. Like a little girl shivering, you can see
All right, so one of the things that we got to get into is some of the more enjoyable, fun scenes out of Superman while we're talking about the first Superman movie. And we were just discussing this off air, and I was like, oh, we got to get this back on air. But we love, Philip, you were talking about the flying scene and them holding hands in the air and how you were like...
Yes, I'll never... every time I think about her as Lois Lane, I'll always think about those two holding hands as they fly through the air. I'll also think about them being on the balcony talking. And those two, you just mentioned Superman being kind
of... Superman turns into like a barfly and says stuff like, you know, well, when she asks, well, do you have a girlfriend? So, well, if I did, you'd be the first one to know.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about how
he's like hitting on her.
Yeah, but she's kind of hitting on him first.
Yeah.
She asks him, she asks Superman what color underwear she's wearing.
Yes.
Because she's talking about the fact that he can see through things.
And he says, has a little trouble seeing through lead.
Yeah, because she says, what color underwear am I wearing? He says, I'm not really sure. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, I embarrassed you. He goes, well, no, no. He goes, it seems like it's made out of lead. He goes, I have a hard time seeing through lead. She goes, oh, that's interesting.
And then when
she gets up later on, stands, and this is, you know, a few minutes later, she stands up and starts walking around. He goes, pink, pink. And she goes, what? He goes, pink. And he points down and she goes, oh, yeah, he goes, oh, sorry, Miss Lane, I didn't mean to embarrass you.
Yes. It is some good stuff. The one thing that I always thought was just kind of funny is almost how careless Superman gets, or I don't know if he maybe tried to do this on purpose, because when they're flying and she slips out of his fingers.
Well, what it is...
But then when he catches her, they're just in that perfect position of holding her.
I think what's happened is... She's getting more and more, feeling more and more free, like she's flying.
Yeah.
And she's kind of getting loose.
He is kind of letting her kind of loose. He's just, oh, yeah, but he gets a little careless, I think.
Well, let's not forget the, you know, this is a comic book movie, but it's a little more unrealistic in the sense that she's able to fly with both arms out like she's flying.
Yeah. She's kind of gliding in through the air, though, as, you know,
but
with
let's
the
be
wind
honest,
underneath.
If I was holding you with your hand, and I was flying like Superman, you wouldn't have the ability to do that.
You'd probably get drugged behind, right?
Yeah. But, you know, I also don't want to judge too awful much. After all, this is just fantasy. But
right.
Still, you know. And then she falls, and he, of course, catches her. And that is a beautiful moment.
Yeah, that is a great moment. And going above the clouds.
And that's when she starts saying, can you read my mind.
Can you read my mind?
And then later on, as you said earlier, they do put that into the music, the song.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful John Williams music.
Yes, right. Which, would that movie have done as well without John Williams' Superman theme? I don't think it would have.
The fact is, and I don't want to put this man down because I think he's wonderful. He's one of my favorite composers of all time, but Jerry Goldsmith also had music. And, you know, Richard Donner was trying to choose between them, but he said what he could not put away was whenever he heard John Williams' music, John Williams, in that music, he said, dun, 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 Superman.
Yes.
So when he hears it, and I hear it, well, I'll tell you something.
And even, look up in the sky, what could it be? It's a bird, it's a plane, Superman. That's what I hear every time.
I'm going to tell you, that music is a part of my life so much that no matter what I'm doing, that music is in my head each and every day. My poor nephews and nieces that are in my life a lot, they hear John Williams' music in everything. I'm jawsing it all the time. Look out. Coming, and I mean all the time. Star Wars is always in there. Indiana Jones, E.T. I mean Superman more than anything. Yes. I'm telling you.
And what a great theme for Lois.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Me, love it. I absolutely love it.
See how I was able to dive back over to Margot Kidder? That's because I'm a professional.
But I love Margot Kidder as Lois Lane. I'm sad to hear she's gone. It's not like she still plays her, but. Watch her on Smallville. She did such a great job on that. She really did.
And nothing against Annette O'Toole as Lana Lang. She was great, but that's not a very good movie.
No.
She just wasn't the same.
Yeah.
Well, you know why they did that? Maybe I shouldn't say this, but you can edit this. But the reason why they did that was because Margot Kidder had said a few things about the producers not allowing Richard Donner to come back and direct. And because she went out of her way to say, maybe it is a professional, I don't know, but she really respected Richard Donner being a great director as she is, and she thought they did wrong for doing what they did, which I happen to agree.
I'm not editing that out because she's not wrong.
Yeah, and well, time has proven.
Yeah.
And the fact is they got mad at her and kind of made it to where they argue this. Oh, we did not. Well, say what you will, but it's kind of obvious that you did.
Yeah.
To where she was hardly in part three. Yeah, she was in terrible part four, but they did not produce.
Which, well, that was more Christopher Reeve's baby, though.
Well, they didn't produce it anyway. Yeah. It was in another company, and
that
they did was horrendous special effects.
Destroy Superman.
They only showed the same flying effect three or four or ten times.
Thank you, Canon Productions.
And came up with Superman's rebuild vision. Don't worry, if he knocks down the Great Wall of China, Superman can rebuild it by staring at it.
Someday we need to have a show all about Superman movies, and I got some information on all of that. It's horrendous.
We should do that. We'll do that again sometime this summer here.
Well,
let's do that.
This is the 80th anniversary of Superman.
Yes, it is. So, yeah, I know Superman's not Disney, but we can dive into it because it's Neverland around here. It's all about talking about the stuff that made us enjoy growing up. And Superman definitely was part of my childhood.
And I have drawn the Superman Mickey. And
there you go.
And if not just that, Stan Lee, who is the Mr. Marvel man, has admitted many a times if it weren't for Superman and all that stuff, there would not be the Marvel characters.
Exactly.
And that's the Marvel
there you go.
So we
you wouldn't have these Marvel characters if it wasn't for the beginning with Superman, the original, first. So you got to respect the Superman. I just wish they'd give him a good movie again.
Yeah, same here.
It's been such a long time since we had a good Superman
1982.
Well, Superman Returns wasn't completely awful.
No, I liked it pretty good.
It was. It has its moments. Brandon Routh, I think, did okay. He was trying really hard to be like Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not easy to do. And I give him credit because I really felt he was trying to be Christopher Reeve. He just didn't have the same presence of Christopher Reeve.
To be truthful about it, the Henry Cavill was supposed to be Superman in that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
And I think he doesn't make a bad Superman.
No, it's the wrong.
I just think, the movies just have not been good. So
yeah, I actually like him. It's just
I do like Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
And I did like his Superman moment there in Justice League.
Yeah.
With the Faster Than the Flash moment.
Yeah,
we'll just say it like that. I don't want to spoil it in case people haven't seen it because it's so awesome.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's.
But yes, we love you, Superman. Thank you for 80 years. And we love you, Margot Kidder. And go on to your eternal rest.
Mm-hmm.
69 years was far too short.
Right.
And two good Superman movies was far too few.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.